Parsha B'chukosai begins with the brachos, the blessings that will befall Klal Yisrael. Im b'chukos chai telechu, if you follow my decrees, observe my commandments, and perform them. And then we have the list of brachos. Then I will provide your rains in their time, and the land will give its produce, and the tree of the land will give its fruit, and etc., etc. It goes through all the different beautiful brachos. Let's focus in, Mirtz Hashem, today on this first bracha. V'natati gishmechem be'itam, and I will give you your rains in this right time. So immediately Rashi notes, this is source number two, when is be'itam, when is the correct times. So he mentions it's time when people don't go out, like Friday night, so it doesn't hinder people's businesses and their different proceedings. So this is, Friday night is a good time. At the same time, the Divrei Yisrael, Mudgets, in source number 4, says, why does it say Be'itam, plural, in their time? It should say, like we have in the Shema, V'nasati mitar tzachem Be'itam, in its right time. The right time is Friday night. What is Be'itam times referring to? That's one question. Our major question for today is one very simple question, and that is the question found, Rav Druk brings down in Eish Tamid, Lashon Gishmechem Sarich Biur. Ma Shayach Liyacheis Et HaGeshem LaNashim? Why does it say Gishmechem, your rains? Is it our rains? V'chiyak Shamim Shalanu Hei? Do the rains belong to us? V'yatzarich Liyokatu V'natati HaGshamim Be'itam? And I will give the rains in this time. What is Hagshamim? In English, Rav Moshe, are the rains not God's? In what sense are they our rain? That's our one question for today. It should say that Atati Hagshamim, and I will give the rain in its right time. What is your rain? It's not our rain. It's Hashem's rain. We don't own the rain. Hashem owns the rain. So that's going to be our one question for today, that we're going to take a look at three answers. The first and third we'll do very briefly, and the second Mirtz Hashem will develop. And we will see a lot of the concepts that we'll talk about today, we've spoken about in the last few weeks, and this all helps us in the build-up toward Shavuot. Answer number one is the Eish Tamid Rav Druk. V'nira ha'nira levayir b'zeh. Hinei b'tchilas habriya. When the creation is just at its formation. The Pasuk tells us, V'chol siach ha'sadeh terem yeb'aretz, V'chol esef ha'sadeh terem yitzmach, Kilo im tir Hashem lukim al ha'aretz, V'adam ayin la'avodat adama. When Hashem first created the world, there was no vegetation. It was all at its, at ground level, because there wasn't man to work the ground. Rashi, what does it mean, Kilo him tir, that Hashem didn't bring down the rain? Lefish Adam ayin lavodat adama, ve'ein makir b'tovasam shel geshamim. There is no one there to appreciate rain. There's no man there to really be able to value the value that enables rain to come and to create vegetation. Ugishiba Adam v'yadashem sarich la'olam yitpalel l'lehem v'yardu v'samchui l'nos v'choyim. When Adam Arishon came, he davened for rain. And because he davened for rain, everything sprouted. When Adam Arishon came into Gan Eden, what did it look like? It didn't look like Gan Eden. It looked barren, desolate. Adam Arishon was able to see the potential in Gan Eden and said, Hashem, I need it to rain in order for the land to be beautiful. And that's how we spoke about it a number of years ago. The Birkas Mordechai explains, perhaps that's a deeper understanding of the bracha we give to the Chassan and Kala, that Kigan Eden Yitzircha Miganeinu, that we Kisamecha Yitzircha Kigan Eden Miketem. We're having them rejoice like the people in the original Gan Eden. And just like in the original Gan Eden, before it became Gan Eden, it was nothing. And Adam had a David. In order for it to happen, there had to be work invested. So too, we tell the couple, if you want to be successful in your marriage, ki Gan Eden. It's like Gan Eden, the original Gan Eden. The Gan Eden where you have to work. The Gan Eden where you have to daven. The Gan Eden where things aren't on a silver platter and you assume that, whatever your needs are, they're going to be met. There has to be some effort on our part. So therefore, Matai Yeshlamar, going back to our discussion in source three in the squiggly, Kilakach Nikurab Shamim Al Shem Ha'adam. That's why the rain is called for us. Why are the rains attributed to man? Because the rains came because of the tfilos of Adam Arishon. And therefore, since the original rains came because of the tfilos of Adam Arishon, and rain comes, mikawach, the tfilos of Adam, and we see this until today. When there's a drought in Eretz Yisrael, there are tefillos that are added to Shemoneh Esrei in order for the rain to come down. Davening for rain is something we do consistently. Why are they called our rain? Because we have a partnership with rain, so to speak. Rain doesn't come just on a natural way. Rain is very much dependent on the tefillos of Klal Yisrael. Since rain is dependent on the tefillos of Klal Yisrael, right? Therefore, right, this is a Birkas Hashanim, the Tein Talu Mato Lefracha. We daven this every day, even in a regular year, since rain is such a crucial component of our relationship with Hashem and part of our tefillah. We therefore it's called on our name. We'll just add parenthetically, Rabbi Eliyahu Kitov in Sefer Toda'ah brings down an absolutely fantastic idea. He says, when rain comes down, and rain again is this relationship between us and the Ribbono Shel Olam, it's coming from the Otzar HaChesed, it's coming from the place of kindness and compassion. And we're talking about in Eretz Yisrael, obviously, the center of Kedusha of the world. When rain falls in Eretz Yisrael, it's a time appropriate to daven, it's an Eid Ratzon. So anytime rain falls, it's an appropriate time to daven to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, for whatever one needs, because it's an Eid Ratzon, it's a time of favor. And that's something important to keep in mind for those of us who have a schus of living in Eretz Yisrael, and those who want to visit in the wintertime. So if it's a rainy day, instead of saying, I give out, it's a rainy day and I'm on vacation, say, wow, Hodu Lashem, it's raining. I have an extra opportunity of Eid Ratzon, of a time of favor, of davening. That, my friends, is idea number one. Idea number two, which we're going to develop more in depth, is really, we'll say the punchline in the Darash Moshe of Moshe Feinstein, and then Mirtz Hashem will develop this today. He says, in what sense are they our rain? This teaches us that the universe functions only due to man's good deeds. When one performs good deeds and observes Hashem's laws, the rain truly belongs to him because it was for him's sake that the rains came. Then indeed, we have the rains over the rain. And that's the juxtaposition of the Pesukim. If you will follow my decrees and observe my commandments and perform them, if we do our part, then I will provide you your rains in their time. Your rains, they belong to you because you're the ones who brought down the rain. Why? Because there's a cause and effect. And this is found throughout the second paragraph of Shema. If you follow Hashem's ways, there will be rain. You don't follow Hashem's ways, there won't be rain. So by following in Hashem's ways, we bring down the rain. The rain is attributed to us. It's interesting. Let's just try to understand this idea in a much more broader and deeper sense. Let's start with broader. The Ramban here is a very, very beautiful Ramban, where he speaks about that, and Rav Dov Yaffe quotes it, Habriya shana makirim hayom, enene kafi shaita b'tzurata rishoni. The Bria that we understand is not the way our world, it's not the way Hashem originally created it. And there's a tremendous change that happened as a result of the curse of eating of the tree. And therefore, quoting the Ramban, he says, Surata rishona shel abriya haita briya shatov sheba hi mushlam belikortav shel ra. In the perfect world, everything was good. There was no bad because of the chedet adat. So then the world, it looks the way it does today. However, there is this vision that the world is going to come back to the place of perfection. And in this place of perfection, there's going to be Gishmei Bracha. There's going to be rains of blessing. V'natana aretz yivula, and the land will produce fruit. The very day you plant, it will have fruit. And there'll be day tain perio, and there's going to be no such thing as a non-bearing fruit tree. Every tree will bear fruit. And he goes on going through each and every one of the brachos here. This is the vision that we have. that it's a vision of utopia, that we will follow Hashem's ways and He will respond, where the whole world, all the laws of nature, will change. The Das Torah quotes the Ramchal, and this is source number 8, who explains that really Adam HaRishon had the opportunity in one fell swoop, just by listening to Hashem's command, to have brought the world to perfection, and all these 6,000 years that we're trying to bring back all those shattered pieces back to that perfected whole could have happened right away, and there would have been no brokenness, and just perfection. And this is indeed, he says, Hamitbonein Babriya Bahanagata, Halo Yipale Bemeta calling Yan Soda Shahia. When you look at the creation, the whole idea of waiting, the whole idea of things not happening right away, is a result of the sin. So for example, you take an apple seed and you put it in the ground. Why should I have to wait a few years for the apple tree to grow? Why doesn't it grow right away? And the answer is because we've created a Masach HaMavdil, we've created a, like the Iron Dome, that blocks us from connecting to Kodesh Baruch Hu. Our sins have blocked the world from being able to function in the way it's supposed to. Im Yodim Ribuya Ikuvim V'Sod Chotzkam. If one would really understand that there are things blocking us at every step of the way, and the power of those blocking us, the bracket in A, Itachein Ki Lavor Miftan Bayi Itarech Zman Shel Shanim V'Kein Kol Miftach Im Gamas Tavol Matoratcha. If you really understood how many blockages there are, just to leave the threshold of your house would really take years, and who knows if you'd even be successful. The whole world is functioning almost in slow motion that we don't even have an understanding of. And that's all because every time we sin, we create distance. And every time we create distance, that level of connection, that level of what should be natural, is suddenly slowed down. An imagery would be like a water pipe where the water should just flow down. If you stop up the pipe with cement and then more cement and then more cement, and then you wonder why it's just drip drop every few hours, one drip comes down, and you say, hello, why isn't the water coming down? Don't blame the water. Blame the cement. And we, through our deeds, through our sins, through our distance from Hashem, through our mindset, we create those cements that block this bracha from coming down. This brings us to a very similar piece in the Das Torah in Parshas Vayera, in source number 10. It's a very, very beautiful piece where Rabbi Rucham speaks about Avraham Avinu is standing by the Akedah, and he says to after traveling 3 days, he's about to enter, go to the mountain where the Akedah is. And he says to Yitzchak, do you see anything on that mountain? Yitzchak Avinu says, yeah, I see an Anan Kashur Lahar. I see a cloud on the mountain. He says to his servants, do you see anything? Yeah. They said, we see a mountain, a bunch of dirt, trees. And he says, Shvulachem Poi Machamor, sit here with the donkey. You and the donkey see on the same level. What does this mean on a deeper level? On a deeper level, the chamor, the physicality of this world blocks us from being able to see. Really, the answer is, Shebeim enenu min haroim, hineu kvar bevchina dome lechamor. If you're not among the seers, then you're on the level of a chamor, of a donkey. Hence, Shmuel Hanavi was able to tell Shaul where his lost donkeys were. He was called Haroeh. He was able to see everything. There was no blockages. Why aren't I able to see everything going on in the world, physically and spiritually? Because I've created the blockages. I've created the cement. But if you're a person who's been able to live a world that you overcome these temptations, overcome these yetzers, and you've cleared out the pipes, so then you're able to see great distances. You're able to hear great distances. We are the ones who create this. V'nei mizeh lishmo v'lerov, the asterisk in 10. He named varim shutim o, to see and hear in this world is so simple. Im rak ein davar chotzei tzleinayim v'lo tzleimas, nothing's blocking the eyes or the ears. Umishe no roev no shomea harei ki mashu mavdil bato. And if he doesn't see or hear, something blocking him. Umahu's that? What is that? Haluha chomer. That's physicality. Huaguf. It's the body.
ki al kein pashut vaday ki nikre do melech hamor. And this, my friends, is our challenge. Our challenge is to try to bring the world back to that world of perfection, to bring ourselves back, that all we see is the Ein Od Milvado. All we see is that there's none other than HaKadosh Baruch Hu in this world. You know, it was quoted that a member of the family had asked from Chaim Kanievsky, Zecher Tzadeh V'Kadosh Livracha, you know, like, how are you able to give these answers to every person where they're at? And it could be the same question, he'll give the answer differently. And he said to this person, he says, if you are able to be Mekadesh, to sanctify all of your deeds, speech, and thoughts, you too would be able to have the ability to give the answers that I give. Right? So, my friends, this is the perfected world. The perfected world is the Ein Od Mevado. The perfected world is Im Chukotai Telechu. It's living in a world completely immersed in godliness. And then you're able to see, you're able to hear, you're able to live in a world that is user-friendly for the Ribono Shel Olam. Why we don't live in this world is because of our lack of vision. Right? A story that we have mentioned in the past, we'll mention again here, just to refresh our memory, that the level of the greatness of Reb Chaim, he should be Zchuto Tagen Aleinu, was a person was collecting money for his Mossad, his institution, and he got a letter for Reb Chaim that people should give to his institution, and he went to a very rich person, a Gvir, and says, can you donate? Here's the letter. And the rich person says, come with me to Reb Chaim, whatever amount he tells me to write, I'll write the check. So this man was thrilled, like, wow, that's amazing. Comes into Reb Chaim, shows him the letter that Reb Chaim had written to him and said, this individual wants to donate to my institution. How much should I ask him for? Reb Chaim said, Ephes, zero. You don't get it. He's ready to write out any amount. How much should I ask him for? He says, nothing. And that was the end of the conversation. And when they went out, this rich man said, I see that Reb Chaim is Ruach HaKodesh. I know that my money wasn't gotten in a kosher way, and I wanted Reb Chaim to give an amount of money that I should give, and that would be a stamp of approval that Reb Chaim thinks my money is okay. By the fact that he says zero, he knows that my money cannot be used for kosher causes. It wasn't gotten in a upright type of way. Reb Chaim saw that, right? We don't see that because we're blocked. But there's a world of perfection. There's a world of balance. And then there's a world of chaos that we live in. And that's the idea that Rav Freifeld speaks about. Let's just take this idea a little bit deeper, and then we'll connect it back to our pasuk. He brings down in source number 11 that the world is created in 10 utterances, and the question is why. So the Maharal explains in the Aron 11, the point of the 10 utterances, he explains, is to show us that there's an order and hierarchy in the universe, that the entire cosmos, both physical and spiritual, functions according to a precise system, a vast and beautiful symmetry. All that supports the symmetry of creation is good, while all that disrupts it is evil. In other words, the flip side of good and evil is order and chaos. The Mishnah is thus providing us with a supremely important principle to take along through life. We have to behave and act in a certain way in order to be in harmony with the contours and symmetry of the cosmos. We have to treat others with kindness and consideration, because to do otherwise would be chaotic and a violation of the order of creation. But the rules of symmetrical behavior are not rigid. Sometimes we have to be kind, sometimes we have to be cruel. Sometimes we have to laugh, sometimes we have to cry, because the symmetry is fluid, it's flexible, it keeps on moving and changing, it flows through time, space, and circumstances. You know, the imagery that comes to my mind, whether it's accurate or not, is the science museum that I went to as a kid. My parents worked so hard to try to make me cultured. Phil and Marnik, I mean, they tried. You could try. But going to those science museums as a kid, and they had these big pendulums swinging and from the ceiling in the middle of the main room. Some of you may be with me in those science museums. I'm sure there were more than one that had this. And that swinging pendulum is such a powerful imagery that it swings in a certain direction and a certain momentum. And anything small is going to throw off that balance. Our world has a certain symmetry to it, has a certain pendulum swinging, and we have to be sensitive to the contours of the movement of this world, the symmetry of this world, and recognize that one wrong move creates chaos. In other words, going back to what we just said, HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants us, as best as we can, to create a world of perfection, of symmetry, a world where the water is able to come down to the best of our ability. And that's where we need to be challenged, to ask ourselves, what does Ribbono Shel Olam want from me right now? In other words, how can I bring this world, as I see it now in front of me, in the circumstance that is now in front of me, how can I try to bring this world to a greater sense of order and symmetry, to a greater sense of Ein Od Milvado, a greater sense of godliness? And that is our responsibility. And hence he explains, Gemara tells us that you have this pasuk, Kel Deos Hashem, the idea of Deos, of knowledge, of Dea, of understanding, is found between two names of Hashem. The Kel, it's the name of Hashem, and the Yudke Vavke, Kel Deos Hashem. What does this mean? So, usually the name we assign to something, 13 or someone, defines its essence, but obviously this is impossible with the Almighty. So what is the significance of the divine name? The Rishoni explained that the numerous names of the Almighty are not descriptions of his essence, but rather the manifestations of how he functions in the cosmos. The heavens tell of his glory. You look at the sky, you see a reflection of the Almighty and his handiwork. You take note of the things that happen in the world and see either his kindness or his wrath. And here the Gemara makes a sharp connection and provides us with an amazing insight. The asterisk in 13, just as the names of the Almighty reveal how he functions in the world, so is Das, knowledge, the instrument by which we function in this world. If we expect to conform to the contours of the universal symmetry, if we wish to avoid a chaotic existence, we too must always be changing, shifting, and adjusting the way we function in this world from the time we wake up in the morning until we go to sleep at night. We're making innumerable decisions, and each decision has to be, is this a reflection of the godly name? Is this a reflection of the way a Kodesh Baruch Hu would behave? And this question, and sometimes we have the answer so, you know, clearly in front of us, and sometimes not, but at least we ask the question. The question of, how can I bring the world into symmetry? How can I bring the world into the vision of Im Bechukotai Teilechu, of walking in Hashem's path, of trying to follow His mitzvah, of trying to align our world with the perfected vision that Hashem has for this world? He brings a story in 16. Once a prominent Rav came to visit Reb Chaim Soloveitchik in one of these resort vacation places in the summer. And he wanted to sit and talk to Reb Chaim in Torah. And he sees that for close to 2 hours, Reb Chaim is talking to the shoemaker in the corner of the room, and the shoemaker is pouring out his woes to Reb Chaim. When the shoemaker, and again, the shoemaker was not talking Torah with him. They were not the most, you know, intellectual class of individuals. When the shoemaker left, this rabbi really gave it to Reb Chaim. What a waste of time, bittul Torah, like, you know. And Reb Chaim looked at him, and he said, I don't understand, the Rav said to Reb Chaim. How can you allow a simple shoemaker to browbeat you for 2 hours? Reb Chaim gave him a puzzled look. 16, what are you talking about? The man has a broken heart. He has terrible tragedies in his life. I shouldn't listen to every word he has to say. This is Das to respond to that aspect of life, and by doing so, he filled this world with precious things. After those 2 hours, when the shoemaker went home with his heart a little lighter, Reb Chaim's Das told him the symmetry of the cosmos called to him to return to the Gemara. We need balance. We need order. Above all, we need Das to avoid the pitfalls of chaos, to perceive the ever-changing contours of the cosmos, and to discover the pathways that move to the rhythms of its fluid symmetry. We are challenged oftentimes in making that decision. What does Ribbono Shel Olam want? My friends, we have to ask ourselves, in what way are we emulating Hashem, the names of Hashem, Kel Deos Hashem? That's the Das. That's bringing the world back to its perfected state. You know, I'll share with you a story, my friends. And I'll tell you honestly, you may have questions on the story. One of the rules that I have, and you're invited to join us in Eretz Yisrael to a live class. We have a number of them going on each week. You can contact me if you visit. And no questions on stories. Because the story is a story, and it's meant to learn from. And if we start asking questions, then we lose the value of the story. And I really hold by that. So here's a story that may raise questions, and that's fine. Listen to the value of the story. There was a woman whose job it was to babysit for a family, their little kids. The wife of this family would leave early for work. The husband would wait till this woman came to babysit, and then he would go off to kollel. And this woman who would babysit for these little children had been married for 10 years without having her own children. So one day she found out that there was a doctor in Tel Aviv who may have the procedure exactly what they need for their medical issue that could help them. So she calls up this clinic, and she's told that there's a six-month waiting list, and she can have, 6 months to get an appointment, and they made an appointment for 6 months. Okay, she marks it on her calendar. That morning she gets up to go to the appointment in Tel Aviv. This appointment she's been waiting for 6 months, that she thinks this is really their only hope. She gets on a bus, and as she's sitting on the bus, she says, "Oh no, I forgot to tell the family I babysit for that I have a doctor's appointment today." What should she do? She says, "I don't want this husband to miss out on learning Torah because of my doctor's appointment. They're not going to be able to find someone so last minute, and he's going to miss learning kollel." She gets off the bus, goes back to her house, and walks in as if nothing happened, and wishes him a good day. After she puts the kids to sleep, she calls the doctor's office, cancels her appointment, and they said the next appointment will be another 6 months, and she understands that. And she puts down the phone, and she starts to daven, and she cries, and she turns to Ribbono Shalom, and she says, "Hashem, I did this for your sake, that there's going to be another person learning Torah today. And you know what sacrifice I gave up, that he should be able to learn. And, please have rachamonos on me." The end of the story is she never made it to that doctor's appointment 6 months later. 8 months later, she gave birth to a little baby boy, who's now a grown man with his own family in Eretz Yisrael. She never had any other children. Now, what decision would we have made at that moment? Well, I'll let you think about that. But I think that most people would say, 6 months I've been waiting. This is my hope. Where's the symmetry in this world? Where's the Einod Milvoto in this world? Where's the recognition there's none other than Hashem? Where's the recognition of Ishtadlers versus Bitacho? A lot of questions on the story. Remember I said we're not asking questions? Symmetry. Das. These are the difficult situations. And sometimes they're as dramatic as this story, and sometimes they're so much simpler. Do I say this Lashon Hara or not? Do I say this Bracha with Kavana or not? And each of these decisions, my friends, brings us to an idea we spoke about in Parashat Kedoshim, and that is Source 18, Haras Derech, Chazal Omrim, Rabbi Lazar ben Rabbi Shimon Omer, Lefi Shalom Nidona Charibo, the world is judged after the majority. Vayochi Nidona Charibo, and the individual is judged after the majority. Asa Mitzvah Achat Ashrav, you do one mitzvah, wow, praiseworthy you are. Sheichriah Tatzmo Vet Kol Olam Lekafschud, you have moved yourself and the entire world to the side of benefit. Havar Aveira Achat, you did one Aveira, once then Oilo, whoa. Sheichriah Tatzmo Vet Kol Olam Lekafchuvah, you turned yourself and the whole world to the side of the negative. Hichriah Tatzmo Vet Kol Olam Lekafschud Ashrav. We have to realize that every deed we do, it's like the world is hanging in balance. Tola Eretz Oblima. And we have the ability to bring the world to symmetry, to a higher level of perfection, or to chaos and destruction. Bishvili Nivra Ha'olam. It's found on each and every one of us. So now, my friends, we can come back to our pasuk. Notzu Tosha Rebbe in Avodah Savoda. These psukim teach us Ikar Gadol B'Yisod HaBriyah, a fundamental idea in creation. Shanagat Kol HaOlam, the mechanism of the entire world, Tzluya B'Yad Kol Bar Yisrael, is in each and every one of our hands. She'im Hu Minaheg B'Derech HaTorah, if we follow the path of Torah, Mashpia B'Zeh HaOlam Ala Yehudim HaTovim Shenemu B'Parshasu, we get all these wonderful things, and if we don't, we don't get these things. Gishmechem is literal. Your reigns. We have the ability through our Torah, Maisim Tovim, to either bring down rains or to stop the rains. And therefore, in Source 20, the next page, Ezu Chacham Haroet Anola, who is the wise one who foresees the future. The Chacham is Misbonin Mistake Bechol Pu'ula Sha'osa. They look, the wise one looks into every action they do. Ma Yivaleit Aidei Pu'lazu. What's going to be the result of this action? If I do this mitzvah, what will be the result? If I do this Aveira, what will be the result? If I do this mitzvah, I have the ability to cause shefa tov l'chol ha'olamos l'shpia l'olam g'shomim b'itam b'shar kol ha'brachos. Yes, my one little mitzvah has the ability to bring the rains down in the right times, to be able to bring the blessing down into this world. That's how we have to look at the personal responsibility that each and every one of us has. You know, in 21, he quotes a very famous statement of Rav Chaim of Sanz, Tzotoy Yegen Yolenu, where Reb Chaim said, you know, when I was young, I thought that I could fix the whole world. Then I thought I could fix my whole community. Then I thought I could fix my family. And then I realized, no, I could only fix myself. Says the Tosha Rebbe, you know what's pshat in this? It's not that the Sanz HaRav gave up on fixing the world. This is pshat. The Sanz HaRav understood that if I fix myself, by fixing myself, I will then have impacted my family, will have impacted my community, and will have impacted the entire world. We have to realize that every single thing we do, the impact that it has. Shekol habruim yu kvushim tachat yad ha'adam, the whole world is in the palm of our hands. And that's, my friend, continues the Or Daniel, that's why it is imperative that when things happen in the world around us, that we don't start blaming outside forces. Well, there was a heat wave and that destroyed all the crops. Or more contemporary for us, he says, if there is a pigua of mechablim, if there is a terrorist attack, so what is our classic response? Where's the government? Where's the protection? Well, how did the terrorists get in? What can we do to protect ourselves? It's limited, my friends. Obviously, you need to do that. Don't get me wrong. But the first and foremost reaction has to be, where's our Torah study? Where's our Shmiras HaMitzvos? Where is our connection to the Ribbono Shel Olam? That's where it has to be. You know, the mashal that Daniel gives is a group of Bedouins who went to visit a certain city in Israel. And the people of the city said, we'd like to gift you with anything you'd like that you saw in this city. Bedouins thought about it and they said, you know what? We don't have running water in our Bedouin community. We'd like to have faucets. So they put in 40 beautiful faucets and they gave it to them. And the Bedouins attached the faucets to the wall of their house. And they turned the faucet on. Nothing happened. And they called up the city and they said, what type of gift is this? It doesn't work. So they send down the finest plumbers and they say, you fools, it's the faucets only work when they're connected to the pipeline of water. And that's how we have to understand that our lives are the same way. We have to realize that our lives are connected to that pipeline. And just to talk about, you know, the weather affecting the crops or the security affecting the terrorist attacks is trying to turn on the faucet without realizing that there's a pipeline here and it's not going to get you too far. everything is connected. Im b'chukosai teilechu v'mishrosav tishmaru. This is so beautifully articulated in the Sefer Orach L'chaim that the Chochman Matzpun of Igbi brings down. And it's so beautiful the way he says this. Let's take a look in 26a. He says, Shekol hanagat ha'adam b'muvan haruchani, whatever we do in the spiritual sense, mashpia ba b'sha'a gama chayav ha'gashmim, affects us in the physical world. V'atara ma'asheret amitiyut hanachazu, and this is what we see in our Torah right here. If you follow in my ways, then you'll have rain. You see the hanagah ruchanit ha'tova mit'achedet b'mitziyuta im tovah ha'gashmim ha'chumriyut. You see that the spiritual world is in sync with the physical world. And if you don't listen, there will be no rain. Kol me'ora b'chaye ha'adam hu b'vo'a ne'mana shoshuto ruchanit. I love this line. Our lives is an exact reflection of our spiritual state. Mishum shetachlis b'ri ha'shamayim v'arit shi'adam nezer b'ri. Why did Hashem create the world? So that we can be the crown of creation. And that everything in this should be a reflection of the chelok elokam imao. And it's our job to put godliness into everything that's found in creation. We spoke about last week, the seven, the core, in order that we should go higher in our avodas Hashem. So therefore, my friends, if there's something missing in the physical world, if there's something out of symmetry, if there's chaos, so we have to first and foremost look at what are the spiritual causes. What could be some of the aspects that have led to this situation? And that's where the work has to be. And that's what our lives have to be. And that's the challenge. Our challenge is, it's almost like we're living two planes, and they're like parallel lines. I'm living my spiritual life and my physical life. And they're parallel, and never the twain shall meet, but they're not parallel. One is a reflection of the other. One is contingent on the other. And the Lekach Valibra of Rav Shur says so beautifully, when you ask somebody, what is Judaism? What is a Jewish religion? So people may say, well, it's a dad, it's a religion of what you're allowed to do and what you're prohibited from doing. And he says, no. The bracket in 27, Yadut Himatzava Chayim, Judaism is a state of life, Shalit Kashur Dima Shemis Barach, of connection to Hashem, b'cholayt v'chol sha'a, at every moment. Judaism is that we are the Am Hashem, Am HaNifchar, the chosen nation, and we have a constant relationship with Hashem, that our whole lives is Einod Mavada. Whatever we do, we have to thank Hashem. We have to connect it to Hashem. I just had this today. This has nothing to do with anything. I had a state of being where my car, you mamish couldn't see out of it, like sandstorm, after one, after another. I've been to the car wash twice. Each time was at Erev Shabbos. It was 7:15. They closed at 7. So it was really bad. It was so bad, I couldn't see out my rear view mirrors. Forget about my front mirror and back mirror. It was encased. And I went to the car wash today. And for the first time, I don't know what happened. The guy had real rachmanis on me. Instead of just going through, he stopped the car and did every process twice. That's how dirty it was, okay? Like, even he saw it. And I came out of this car wash, and it was like, Shechiyanu v'kiyamanu, I could mamish see out of my car. It was like, wow. And my response was, Ribono Shalom, thank you for having car washes. Thank you for being able to put into this, because usually the car wash barely washes the car. What do you expect for 15 shekels, yeah? But here, he stopped it and did it again. Hodu Hashem ki tov kilum chasto. Even a car wash, it's every aspect of our lives. We can't take anything for granted. Everything is thank you, the Ribono Shel Olam. And he quotes here a story, which we have mentioned a number of times, but it's such a powerful story, of Rav Moshe Feinstein, Zecher Tzadik Kadosh Livracha's father, who was also a great gadol, who had a friend who was also a big Talmid Chacham. And they had a tekiyas kaf, they had a deal that whoever go up to Shemayim first would tell the other one what it was like. Rav Moshe finds his father was nifter first. Then he comes into a dream and tells Rav Moshe, and he says, I want you to know every single thing that happens down here. Every movement, is measured in heaven. Nothing goes unseen, unwatched. He said, when they asked me about performing mitzvos, I pass with flying colors. When they asked me about not doing averos, I pass with flying colors. But then they asked me a question, which is the key question up in heaven. Aval double squiggly ikar hadin lamalahi al rachman alibabai. But the real question is, Hashem wants your heart. V'zet davar kashem od. And this is very scary, says Rav Shor. You could do all the mitzvos, be careful not to do any averos, and you're a shell of a person. You never connect. You never have kavana in doing anything. Yiddishkeit is about not just going through the motions. It's connection. It's living. This is Erev Shavuos. This is what it's about. And this is what we need to understand. That when I live my Torah and mitzvos, I'm not just impacting my Torah and mitzvos. I'm not just impacting my relationship with Hashem. The chiddush for today is I'm impacting Gishmechem, the rains. And we know Gishamim is also a catchphrase for our parnasa, the gashmius in this world. Birkas Hashanim is a bracha for parnasa, for one's prosperity. I'm impacting my parnasa. You know, the people who think they can run out of shul because they have to prepare for a meeting, they have it all wrong. This is the preparation for the meeting. This is where the work needs to be. We have to understand that interrelationship between one and the other. And hence, the Divrei Yisrael says in 38 bet, bottom of the next page, "Benatati gishmechem bi'itam ki ein lecha adam she'ein lo sha'ah." What is bi'itam? Everyone has their hour. Everyone, Hashem waits. Kadosh Baruch Hu mamtin ubower ha'ed v'olna ha'sha'ah tova shelo b'maisim tovim. Sheli b'maisim tovim sheyeh kli lachzik bracha u'mashpia lo kol tov. What is bi'itam? In their time, gishmechem bi'itam, Hashem takes a look at each and every one of us and sees to what extent have we created a kli, a vessel, to be able to bring down the blessing of Hashem and then brings it down. Hashem waits for us to create these vessels. Hashem waits for us to be able to connect with us. It's on our achrayus. It's on our responsibility. That's bi'itam. Okay, my friends, we've done two levels now. We're up to the final one. Here goes. Idea number one, why is it called our rain? Because we have to daven for them. Rain is not something that happens automatically. We have to daven. And we have to, and that's our partnership with the Kadosh Baruch Hu. And so really, rain is in our control to the extent that the more we daven, the more likelihood it will rain. That's idea one. Idea number two, rain is in our hands because rain is dependent on our Maisim Tovim, on our good deeds. Rain is dependent that we create a world of symmetry, that we yearn for a world of perfection, of Einod Mavato. To the extent that I work on myself to have that das, to have that knowledge, to try to bring godliness into my life, to that extent, I bring down goodness and prosperity. I create the kli, Hashem is able to fill it. We create the bucket, Hashem fills the bucket. We have to understand that Judaism is not just about what I can do and what I can't do. Judaism is a living relationship with Ribbono Shel Olam, and what we do impacts. The physical, the spiritual, is all interconnected together. Now, my friends, we're up to the third level, which is very deep, at the same time, absolutely stupendous. Let's take a look. It's a piece that Rav Schlesinger quotes in the name of Rav Pinchas Friedman, and he adds a bit. There's a machloket in the Gemara and Tanis between Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yeshua, a lot of machlokets between the two of them. Where does rain come from? Does rain come from the vapor that comes from the ground, and then it goes up to heaven, and then forms clouds, right? Learned about this cycle in third grade or something. Or it has nothing to do with the vapors. Rain comes directly down from heaven. Those are, and they bring support from both views. Now, the Rabbeinu Bachaye brings down that sometimes Hashem does one thing, sometimes Hashem does another. And he notes, Rabbeinu Bachaye notes, that the water that comes from above is sometimes called matar,
and sometimes called Geshem. V'otoshu mimayim al yonim nikra b'shem shnehem b'lshom matara b'lshom Geshem. And the rain that comes from the ground beneath us is only called Geshem. It's only called rain, not matar. So we ask, well then how do you explain our pasuk? If you go in the ways of Hashem, then atati kishmechet mitam, I'll bring you the rains. Is this the rain from heaven, or is this the rain that perhaps is the rain that comes from the earth? Would I not think that it should only be matar, the rain that comes from the heaven? Why would there even be a havamina, a thought, if you're in a kul, kishmechem, right? In Kriyat Shema we have, v'natati mitar tzechem b'ito, I will give the matar. The matar is definitely coming from heaven. So here, for following Hashem's ways, it should also be matar. If you're in a kul, geshem, well, geshem sometimes comes from Hashem, and sometimes comes from the vapor, from beneath, and that's obviously a lower level of rain. So why would that be if we do the will of Hashem? So we're going to do the next piece outside. Work with me. There's a very famous story in chapter 17 and 18 of Melachim Aleph. It's a story where Achav taunts Eliyahu, who's greater, Moshe Yoshua. It says in the Chumash, right, that Moshe spoke that if you worship Avodah Zarah, idolatry, there'll be no rain, and there's plenty of rain. To which Eliyahu responds, okay, so there will be no rain ki'im lifi dvari until I say so. And many different things happen to Eliyahu to almost force his hand to give the rain. And Hashem says, okay, now's the time has come after 3 seasons or 3 years, whatever you understand the Mefarshim, go tell Achav I'm bringing rain. So Eliyahu doesn't go straight to Achav to bring rain. What does he do? He stops along the way. What's the pit stop along the way? He gathers all of Klal Yisrael to Har Carmel, and he has a showdown between the prophets of the Baal and himself, who can prepare a sacrifice and have fire come down from heaven. And they try, and they're not successful. He douses his sacrifice with water, and a fire comes down and eats the sacrifice, eats the water. Oh, it's a major Kiddush Hashem. And the people fall on their face and they scream, Hashem hu Elokim, Hashem hu Elokim. Right? God is God, God is God. Well, we know. And then Eliyahu Navi tells the people to go home. It's going to rain. And he's on the mountain, Har Carmel, and he's sitting with his head between his feet, and he's davening to Hashem to bring the rain. Because again, rain is very much about davening. And he turns to a servant and says, see if there's any cloud coming. And his servant goes back 7 times, nothing, nothing, keep on going, and look. Finally, the servant comes back and says, you know what? There's a little cloud, like the hand, like the palm of a hand, that I see overhead. Eliyahu says, good. Now, it's about to pour, you know, and let's go tell Achav that the rain is here. There's a lot of questions on this story. He brings here a fascinating, fascinating insight of the Chasam Sofer that gives us a whole new view of this piece. 38 in the arrow. Al Val Inyan ki yadua shek shamim mitavim b'teva meidim haolim ha'aretz vehevel peh anshei ha'olam. Here's the Chiddush of the Chasam Sofer. Where do these vapors come from? Right? The water is the vapor from the ground, comes up to the heaven and forms clouds, and it comes down. Where do these vapors down here come from? Right? So we go back into the science of carbon dioxide and oxygen and all of these different things. Says the Chasam Sofer, on a spiritual level, it's coming from every time we speak, the words that we say creates the vapor. V'im ki zehu rak hachana ktana b'tivei olam, v'ikar hu k'mamar chazal, sha'avim shavim imei uknus, u'mitmatnim ba'avim adei mayim halyonim, mikol makom gam ze emet, ki avayat avim hu meidim holim in aretz. Says the Chasam Sofer, of course, the majority of the vapors are coming from the ocean, clearly. But mixed into those vapors is the spiritual element of the words that we say. Now, if we understand this, my friends, we can understand the following. the Chasam Sofer goes on. Ve'yod Cain, Achush v'asechul Yair, ki b'nei Adam v'hevel haidim holim mehem, hu mehevel ped dover nevelav l'shan hara rechilos.
So you can imagine, if all the vapors is created from words that are inappropriate, that are lashon hara, etc., then the rain that is going to come from this vapor is going to be what we call impure rain. And then that's going to feed, to give life to the plants, and that's going to go into the plants, and that's going to be unhealthy for us, right? So again, this is what we just spoke about, that it's not just a physical world and a spiritual world, and the twain shall not meet. Again, this is a very deep idea, at the same time very profound. And that is, what we say creates a spiritual reality, not just in the cosmos, but in a very real way, in the air, and that air is going to mix into the vapor, which is going to affect the cloud, which is going to affect the rains, which is going to affect what comes down here on planet Earth. And that is why we can appreciate so much deeper the Shema. Because what does it say in the Shema? It says that if you don't do the will of Hashem, then vatsarta shemayim v'lo yematar, then the sky is not going to give rain. What's the meaning of this? Or you're going to be thrown out of the land. Hashem has to stop the rain, or either stop the rain or throw us out, because he has to stop the cycle. We need to clear the air, just literally, in order to be able to now have a cycle of positivity, of spirituality. And that's the next part of Shema. Start learning Torah. Start putting the words into your hearts and your mouth, because that's how we're going to be able to create a world of beauty, a world of symmetry, a world of godliness. And that explains this whole section. Eliyahu HaNavi says, Kiim lefi dvari. Rain will only come now from my deep world. We have to stop it. The Avodah Zarah has to stop. Rain has to stop because the cycle has to stop. But in order to bring down rain, Kiim lefi dvari, that's holy rain, I have to have the people create a new model. And therefore he asks the people to tshuva, Hashemu Elokim. When the people are saying Hashemu Elokim, it's not just they're doing tshuva, what are they doing? The screaming out Hashemu Elokim is what ultimately creates that little cloud that then impacts the rain coming down, and now it's Gishmei Bracha, now it's rain of goodness. So when we talk about the Gishoming as being our rain, in what way is it our rain? So now we understand. Lefize, the bottom of 40. Miyushave te madua dikteka katuv lomar v'natati gishmechem b'itam, which is the Gishomim mina aretz, and not matar tzechem, sheim rak gishomim shirdim min hashamayim. The matar, it doesn't say here, matar, rain only from heaven, because it's not only about rain from heaven, it's about rain coming from the bottom of the ground. Because the rain from the bottom of the ground is coming from our learning Torah. So that's pshat. You follow the Torah and your mitzvot, which means you create this reality of positive word power of Torah and mitzvot, that then will go into the air, into the vapor, which will then create the ability to infiltrate the vapor that goes up to heaven to bring down Gishmei Bracha, to bring down rain of blessing. It has to be also a component of down here, not just above, because then it's really our rain and we benefit from all the goodness that we put in. When we say brachos out loud and we create kedusha with our mouths, at that moment, the rain that comes down is gishmechem, it's our rain. And that rain has the ability to rain over the whole world in a positive way of bringing bracha. Clearly, my friends, the onus of responsibility on us when we understand this. It's that touch us, okay, so I said some Lashon Hara, I mean, come on. So I said something I shouldn't have said. It's much deeper than that. What we say creates a reality. What we say affects the ecology of the world around us. And that's why the Rabbeinu Yonah quotes from the Yalkut. This is Rosh Hashanah Solomon 41. The community of Israel is beloved through his voice and hated through its voice. It's beloved through its voice, as it's written, let me hear your voice, because your voice is sweet. It's hated through its voice, as it's written, she raised her voice against me, therefore I have hated her. And this is the meaning of what's written in the Pasuk in Mishlei 18:21. Death and life are in the control of the tongue. Mavet v'chayim are b'yad halashon, and those that love it shall eat its fruit. What is this idea of eating its fruit? Rabbeinu Yonah focuses on this part. What does this mean? He refers to a person who loves the tongue. In other words, he loves to talk. Who doesn't like to talk? So he said he should eat its fruit. If he really loves to talk, eat its fruit. He should not satisfy this desire with idle chatter. Instead, he should speak of ways to bring people together in peace and harmony. He should speak about ways to raise the spiritual level of the community. He should praise the good and condemn evil. He should encourage people to seek the truth. You want to talk? Talk! But eat its fruit. Be able to talk in a way that's going to produce goodness. The mindset we need to have, each and every one of us, is recognizing the power of our speech. Again, an idea we've seen many times based on Rav Chaim of Volozhin, the end of 43, the idea of Yira Shemayim, fear of heaven. Shouldn't we have Yira Hashem, fear of God? Why fear of heaven? So he says, it does not mean to be afraid of heaven, said Rav Chaim Volozhiner. We have to be afraid of God, not of heaven. Rather, it means, the asterisk in 43, we have to fear the effects of our actions in heaven. Our every word and deed can build great evidences in the higher worlds. One day, we'll come to heaven and survey what our lives in this world have wrought in the next. If we're not careful, we may survey a sense of great devastation with ruins and rubble strewn as far as the eye can see. Better to have fear of heaven now, to fear the damage we can do to heaven, so we can arrive in heaven, we will find towering spiritual edifices rather than scenes of destruction. And Rav Masechiyahu ends this piece, which really comes full circle to what we've been speaking about today. In order to have a first step to gain control of the power of our speech, is we have to believe in ourselves. We have to believe that every word we speak leaves its mark in the lower worlds and the higher worlds. End of 44. We have to believe that our words can build and they can destroy. We have to recognize there was some power of speech that Hashem has infused in us, the divine power He has shared with us when He created us in His image. Only if we respect the power of speech can we harness it for the good. And really, my friends, that's the goal of Gishmechem in a nutshell. What is our reins about? Our reins is about what is our koach of speech. One, our koach of speech is in tefillah. We daven, it becomes our reins. Two, our koach of speech is in learning Torah, in doing mitzvot, in all the aspects that makes us human, that we use our bechira, we use our free choice, which is, again, the human quality that we have, to have das. Again, the human quality of knowledge, of insight, to create symmetry in this world. When I'm living a world that's aligned with the will of God, when I unblock all those cements in the pipe, when I connect the faucet to the source, I recognize that my world is about being immersed in the recognition that every part of my life is Tov Lahodos, of Hodol Hashem Kito, of praising Hashem, of connecting with Hashem. There's no divide between the two. And finally, my speech itself is what impacts the rain. So that if we have a bad crop and people get sick from the food, it's not because it was a bad crop. On a much deeper level, we have to ask ourselves, where is our speech? Where are our Torah mitzvot? Because what we say, what we do, creates an impact in the environment, which goes up to heaven and brings the rains down. And we need to take the rains in our own hands, that we can recognize that the rain is a gift from Hashem, but very much Gishmechem, in partnership with each and every one of us.